Listen, when you get up and get with God in the morning, at first it may not feel right. It may feel like a hassle, a hindrance, an inconvenience. And it'll go against your flesh, but after a while it'll feel oh so right, and you got to have it. You got to have it.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we begin a new message entitled Rootless. This is the second chapter of the series called The Story of the Sower. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
No one could teach profound spiritual truth so simply that the simplest among us could understand it than Jesus could. And the parable of the sower our current series is focused on is one of the best examples. It consists of a seed, a sower, and a soil. The seed is God's word, the sower is Jesus and his church, and the soil represents the heart of man. In this incredible parable, Jesus lays out four possible outcomes for the seed of the word sown into the heart. Today we're going to be talking about the rootless seed, the person who initially receives God's word, but when persecution or trouble appear because of the word, this person falls away. Well, I don't want to give it all away, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Rootless, from the series, The Story of the Sower. Your spiritual growth is more important to God than your comfort. Your holiness is more important to Him than your happiness. And I will say that if you're holy, you're probably happy. The most important thing to God here today as we meet to look at the Word is your spiritual growth. It's not what car you drive, what house you live in, what job you have, who you married, or who you think you're going to marry, or who you hope to marry, or who you wish you hadn't married. I'm just trying to keep you with me. It is your spiritual growth. God is out to make you grow, to cause you to grow. Your destiny in Him from the foundation of the world is that you would grow spiritually and bring forth spiritual fruit. You have not chosen me, said Jesus, but I chose you. That you would go and bring forth fruit and your fruit would remain. So why did He choose us? For fruit bearing. That we would grow spiritually. Now the parable of the sower is all about that. Parable of the sower, Jesus' fundamental primary parable, where He literally said, if you understand this one, you understand all the rest of the parables, is all about a tale of four seeds, or I could say a tale of four soils, because it's all about the seed being sown onto the soil of our hearts. So let's read it, Matthew 13, and we're going to look at six verses, and then I'm going to drop down and read two more. So let's just open it up. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to Him so that He got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spoke many things to them in parables, and here was the first one. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, now I skipped the first one. That's why there is an ellipsis there, those three dots, because I skipped the hard ground. We did that last week. The one we're about to read is the one we're dealing with today. So he got into a boat, sat, and he spoke many things. The sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, verse 5, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. So notice, they were very promising looking at the beginning because they sprang up. There was the immediate growth. And so when you're first looking at this seed, and this particular soil, you're going, hallelujah. Because Jesus said, immediately, a green shoot pops out of the ground, and we got growth that happens immediately. But look what He says the reason was. It came up immediately because they had no depth of earth. In other words, where it should have been putting down roots, it went up instead of going down. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had what, everybody? No root. They withered away. The disciples came to him and said, "Master, what did you mean? Interpret this for us. Explain this to us." So here's Jesus' explanation for the stony ground. "He who received the seed on stony places," this is he who hears the word, "and immediately receives it." So say with me, he's saved. Because he received it. He received it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. Uh-oh. He's saved, but there's a problem immediately. No root. But he endures only for a while. He's a 100-yard dash, not a marathon. This is a 100-yard dash Christian. He endures for 100 yards, we could say. But when tribulation or persecution arrives because of the word, immediately he trips and stumbles. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for helping us to grow. The most important thing to you is that we grow. Now, Lord, shine on your word. Shine on this word. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our understanding. And I pray for this congregation as well as myself that we will not be a 100-yard dash Christian, but a marathon Christian who makes it to the end with joy. Now, will you breathe a prayer and say, "Lord, let it be for me." In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you're going to make it in the long haul. Okay. Now, Jesus gave us this parable, and in this parable, it's four soils are involved. And three players, or three objects in the parable. There's a sower, there's a seed, and there's a soil. The sower is Jesus ultimately, but it's primarily us. Every one of you are called to sow the seed of the Word of God. I am too. We're all called to sow the seed. So there's a sower. Right now I'm sowing seed. And you know where it's going? Into four kinds of soil. But I'm sowing the seed. You and I were born again by a seed. Peter said, you were born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So the gospel is a seed. And this parable is all about that gospel being shared on four different kinds of soil. And remember, the soil represents the heart. And when you look at the focus of Jesus in this parable, his focus is on the soil way more than the sower and way more than the seed. He's focused on the soil, which is you and me. He's focused on the soil and how we respond to his word or not. His intention is that every one of us would be fruitful. Again, I say, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. That you would go and bring forth fruit. He said, I handpicked you. I picked you. I saved you. I redeemed you. I filled you with my spirit. I laid my hand on you. Why? So that you would go and be fruitful. I'm looking for fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith, and all those attributes of fruitfulness, all summed up, put them in a blender and hit liquefy and pour it out, and you got Jesus. I've chosen you that you would go and bring forth fruit. Now, here's the four types of soil. Last week was the hard ground. And that's the one where the person doesn't even understand what they heard. They don't give it a second thought. They listen to the gospel recklessly, carelessly, flippantly. They don't take it seriously. And by the time they get to their car, they forget what they heard. Careless hearers. So the seed goes on hard ground that never absorbs the seed. And so you know what? They remain lost. That's the first soil. The second one is today, the stony soil. The problem with the stony soil is it represents a shallow heart, shallow faith. This person's faith is a mile wide and an inch deep. They have shallow soil. And the problem is there's obstacles and hindrances to growth in their life, represented by stones and pebbles, stony ground. So you got the hard heart, shallow heart, And then there's thorny ground, the ground infested with thorns, and that's the crowded heart. You're so busy, you don't have time for the things of God. That's the crowded heart. And then there's the fertile heart, the one we all want, and the one I'm praying, I prayed fervently for you this week, and me, because I need it too, that we would all have fertile hearts, not a hard heart, not a stony heart where the word can't put a root down, not a crowded heart where we don't have time for God, but fertile heart, a fertile heart where we are fruitful. How many of you want that? I know you do. I know you do. Now, today we're looking at the rootless soil. Remember, I gave you a little something easy to remember. The first one is clueless. The second one is rootless. The third one is fruitless. And the fourth one is fruitful. Today we're looking at the rootless soil. The rocky or the rootless soil is the soil that is mingled with pebbles and stones. And believe me, Jesus never wasted a word. The pebbles and stones represent obstacles and hindrances that are standing in the way of that seed putting down roots. The roots can't grow down, so it immediately grows up. Have you ever seen somebody grow too fast? I have. They grow too fast. They grow up because they don't have any roots down. And it looks good for a while. I mean, they look like they're really moving on in God. But the first trial that comes along, they're gone. They disappear. And you wonder, what happened to them? They didn't have any roots. Roots are so important. Listen, in my backyard, I would rather have a tree a foot high with 3-foot roots than a tree with a foot deep root and 3 feet high. Because which one will last? When the strong winds blow, the one with the deeper roots will stand. The one with the shallow roots will be blown over. We want roots. We want deep roots. We want roots in God. We want roots that are deep, deeper than higher, deeper than high. So the soil is shallow, and that means this person's Christianity is shallow. It's shallow. Now, everything the Lord taught us, he taught us in love. And, you know, I read the word, and it puts me under an X-ray machine. I read the word, and it searches me. Listen, I learned a long time ago, I'm not to judge the word. I'm to let the word judge me. And I let the word judge me every day. And even if it stings, I let it judge me. Because that's the way I grow. Now, we want to take what Jesus said here, and we want to pause and really consider this shallow soil. Because I want to submit to you that the church in the West, I can't speak for the church in the East because I'm not there, but the church in the West is infested with people that have shallow faith. And so they're so easily taken by cults, and they're so easily moved by trials and troubles, and they get out of church, and they get easily offended, and they're always being tossed to and fro. But what we want, we want to be oak trees, tall, strong, with deep, deep roots. So let's talk about the rocky soil. I've seen this kind of heart a million times. I've been preaching a long time. I started preaching when I was 18, 19, early 19. So I started preaching when I was a teenager. And now that I'm 35, let me tell you, it's been a real journey. Just want to be sure you're still with me. Time flies when you're having fun, and I love what I do. Now, I want you to notice the shallow, rocky soil is the person that receives the word with joy. This person is excited they just got saved. They're excited. They accept Christ and experience the joy of salvation. So how in the world do they end up being plucked up and falling away in a time of trial? Why are they so easily moved later? Here's why. They don't grow in the things of God because their commitment and their understanding of the word is shallow, and obstructions to growth remain in their life. They go to the altar. I've seen it a lot, more times than I can count. They make a hasty emotional decision. Oh, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. But then they stop there. They don't take time to consider the importance of getting into the word, of attending church regularly, not when you feel like it, regularly. Let me tell you something. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. Those of you that are watching by video that could have been here, let me talk to you just for a second. Do you know that the times you least feel like coming to church are the times you most need to come? Anyway, their profession of faith really is, these kind of people that are blown around like this, like I said, it's a mile wide, it's an inch deep. They don't understand the importance of changing and hanging with Christian friends. They keep the rocks and the pebbles of the wrong kind of friends in their life. There's all kinds of things that they don't take the trouble to do. The message of Jesus here is, when you realize that he died for you, rose from the dead, filled you with the Holy Ghost, got a purpose on your life, that we are to put our hands to the plow and apply our lives to growing spiritually, to cultivating holy habits, if I might call it that. Holy habits. It's a holy habit to get into the Word every day. It's a holy habit to pray every day. It's a holy habit to go to church when church is happening. It's a holy habit. It's holy habits that grow us. Amen. We're always hearing about bad habits. Let's talk about a few good ones. I crave the Word of God. I've got to have a fix every day. I've got to have a fix every day. Because I crave the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It is like honey going down into my soul. It is so sweet to my spiritual palate. I love the Word of God. But listen, that's because I've created a holy habit. Habits are created the same way, whether they're bad or good. You remember when you started smoking? Some of you. First hit, you took off a cigarette, it felt like somebody dropped an anvil down into your lungs, and you choked and you sputtered, but you persevered. Until finally it felt normal. What was not normal began to feel normal. You created a habit. Listen, when you get up and get with God in the morning, at first it may not feel right. It may feel like a hassle, a hindrance, an inconvenience. It'll go against your flesh, but after a while it'll feel oh so right, and you got to have it. You got to have it. But see, this doesn't happen with the shallow soil. And now I got to thinking, all right, if Jesus is talking about the shallow soil, I understood the hard ground, because it says that person never understands what they heard because they don't pay any attention to it really. But what about the shallow soil? How does it develop? How does it come about? How does one person grow with deep roots and they make it and go the long haul? But how does another person have only shallow soil where the roots never go down and any little thing knocks them off the saddle? What causes it? What creates it? And I found three things in the Bible, and let me share them with you. First, a person can have this shallow soil or shallow faith because they put faith in a church rather than God. Put another way, they put faith in something that can let them down rather than putting faith in the one who can never let you down. They put faith in an institution, a religious institution, more than the God who gave it. Their faith is in people. There are people whose faith is placed in the shallow, rocky soil of the social life of a church, more than in Christ himself. I asked a guy one time, seriously, I said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Have you accepted Christ? He said, oh, I've been a Baptist all my life. I said, wait a minute, that's not what I asked you. I asked you if you were a Christian, but to him, being a Baptist meant that he was a Christian, but that's faulty thinking, because sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. Sitting in church doesn't make you saved. We got to understand that we've got to come to him ourselves and have an experience with the living God ourselves. But there's people who get lost. They assume because they're involved in the social life of a church that they're saved. And that's what they fellowship with more than him. Amen. A person like that, the Baptist, he's going to be in real trouble if the Baptist church in his town ever goes down, because his faith is in that church. And see, we put our faith in people. Let me tell you a story. When I was young in the ministry, I was a college and career director. We would say it, awakening, young adults. And I had 500 coming to church. It was a huge church. It experienced a mighty move of God. This church went from 800 to over 4,000 in a few months. And I got to be the college and career director, and I loved it because I love that age group. I loved it. And I'm ministering to them, and the ministry is exploding, and I'm excited. And so one day, the youth pastor who was over that took me aside and said, Jeff, you need to move closer to the church. Now, I'll tell you, I was living in Richardson, and the church was way in Oak Cliff. I was driving almost an hour one way to church, but I decided a church alive is worth the drive. So I was going almost an hour all the way to church, and he said, you need to move closer to the church. And he said, if you move closer to the church, we'll take care of you. I said, hallelujah. It was like the hallelujah chorus, and I said, you got it. And so I packed up all my stuff, which was about a sack full, and I moved, and I got this little duplex and was all excited. Wow, the church is going to take care of me because this ministry is exploding. This college and career group is doing great, and now I'm going to be taken care of, and I can be in full-time ministry. And I got there, and they didn't give me a nickel, the youth pastor. Not a nickel. I had to call my mother one day, and she had to drive all the way to Oak Cliff to bring me a $10 bill so I could eat. I had a choice. Now listen carefully to me. I'm telling you something. The shallow faith, the shallow heart experiences something like that, and their faith is in people. They are focused on people. And when people don't come through, they hang it up and walk away. But here, I had a choice. I got this ministry coming up under me. I'm reaching all these kids for God. But this happened to me, and this youth pastor saw me every week and didn't say one word, knew that I moved and didn't say one word. I had a choice. Am I going to get offended, pick up my marbles, and go home? Or am I going to trust God to take care of me? And I'm not looking at a man, I'm looking at him. I'm not looking at a man, I'm looking at him. I am not going to be plucked up and fall away because a church system failed me. And I made up my mind. The Lord gave me this ministry. Yes, that person fell through, but God will take care of me, and God did take care of me. I was never late on a bill, never one time. God took care of me, and I stayed with that ministry and ministered to hundreds of young people for years. Folks, we got to get to the place where when people let us down, we get over it. Come on, get over it. Because if it's people, they're going to let you down sometimes. Church leadership is going to let you down. The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. Let me tell you what I mean by that. There are some people who melt into the arms of God and trust Him when they go through trouble and fire and trials and testing. But there are other people who grow hard against God. The same sun that melts that butter will harden that clay. It depends on what they're made of. And see, we've got to get to the place where we melt towards God. We melt in the arms of God. We break toward God when people let us down. The person with this shallow, rocky soil, they are blown back and forth by what people do all the time. We got to get to the place where we are not moved. We can say with David, I shall not be moved. Keep your eye on the bouncing ball. The bouncing ball is not people. The bouncing ball is the purpose of God for you. I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Joe. I'm going to get this CD. But this person, this shallow soil is the one whose faith is placed in things that can easily fail you. And people always will, and institutions always will. But there is one who won't. The person with a deeply rooted faith in God and His promises will stand firm and not falter no matter what. Lord, if I was knocked off the saddle with every offense that came my way, I would have quit pastoring a long time ago. But I perform for an audience of one.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalkradio.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message entitled Rootless in the sermon series called The Story of the Sower. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.